Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County. This is episode 34, Give a Tax Cut and Get a Real Job. Hey everyone, Jesse Harris here. I wanted to put a quick preface on this episode. There was some sort of technical glitch that ate the last few minutes of this interview. As opposed to going back and re-recording, which takes a lot of time and effort, I thought we'll just put what we have out there. It's a great conversation. I hope you'll enjoy it. Again, sorry about the mix-up. Have fun with the episode.
And welcome back to Color Country Politics. I'm Jenny Hendricks.
I'm Jesse Harris.
And we are so happy that we finally got Danny Stewart here today. I've been dogging him for a long time. And his schedule is super busy, and he's been out of town a lot doing, you know, economic stuff. So thank you for coming in today. We're so thrilled.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for your patience and determination to get me here.
You got
it's
it.
It's not that I haven't wanted to be here. It has been a busy summer.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So for those of you who don't know, Danny Stewart is the Economic Development Director for Cedar City and Iron County Office of Economic Development.
Right.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. I'll give you a little bit of background on how that came to be and everything, if that's all right.
Let's jump in, absolutely.
I tell this story. There are some people who have been here in Cedar City, Iron County for a long time, like I have, and those who haven't, but it makes a lot of sense if you kind of know the backstory and why we have an Office of Economic Development in the first place. If you go back many decades, we had a couple of industries that really carried our economy here. We had agriculture, we had a college, which is now university, and we had iron mines.
Right.
And the iron mines ran for decades, for a long, long time, and they were one of the major employers, and they paid very well. Mm-hmm. Hard work, good primary employment for the county. Mm-hmm. In the early 1980s, the two major mining companies that were operating west of town shut down in 1983 and 1984. And almost overnight, we went from one of the wealthiest counties in the state per capita to one of the poorest.
Wow.
And it was devastating. We were a lot smaller community then.
Sure.
We didn't have a huge number of jobs, but they were a large percentage of the really good employment here. I was looking at numbers a while ago, and about 1980 or so, Iron County's average income was about 20% higher than the state average.
No kidding.
And
wow.
By 1988, we were about 25% lower than the state average.
Yeah.
And since then, we've leveled out and started to come back up slowly, but the state average has gotten ahead of us. So we're still behind that state average.
Yeah.
But that was really what caused it to be dated. When you go a few years without that main primary employment and people struggling to make ends meet here.
Right.
We looked at some of the assets that we had here in the community, located on I-15. Mm-hmm. We have a university.
Mm-hmm.
We have a rail spur
that
was used for the iron mining. An airport here that has one of the largest airstrips in the state.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of things that were positive, and our city leadership and county leadership back then said, well, let's see what could work well here. We had some manufacturing here.
Uh-huh.
Metalcraft Technologies back then was Morton Metalcraft.
Yep.
And we had Cedar Products and some others, and they were more mass production type, traditional manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
That industry's changed a lot since
then.
That's what we started looking at, is we need to recruit some more manufacturing to this community. Mm-hmm. When I say we, I say my predecessors were talking quite a long time ago, but successfully, we were able to attract some larger manufacturers, develop that, diversify our economy a little bit, and we continue to do that today.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's really, and people ask me this a lot, you know, as they're coming to this area, who are the employers, you know, what is this? And it's really exciting to be able to talk about how diverse our economy is, you know, everything from manufacturing to education to tourism and you know, all points in between. So
it's true. When we had a couple of large eggs in our small basket and
one
of them failed, then it was devastating.
Yeah.
Here's something interesting. The mine continued to operate, you know, at different levels after the 1980s. It was still sending limited amounts to Geneva while that was still operating.
Okay.
In more recent years, they got into exporting a lot of iron. My first week on the job in October of 2014, that exporting business changed. Price of iron went down and the iron mine shut down.
Right.
So when I started, first week on the job, the iron mine closed.
You come full circle.
We had, but it wasn't nearly as devastating on the economy. We lost over 100 important jobs at the time. But we had some other things happening in this diversity that, that helped the community as a whole stay afloat. And,
right.
And weathered that very well.
You know, that's one of the things that as we're out there in the community, I hear a lot is, oh, you know, Cedar City, Iron County, we need more jobs. We need more good paying jobs. We need higher paying jobs. And you and your department, and by department, I mean Brad, who has done great, great things. But you and the Economic Development Department are really at the tip of the spear for that. And one of the things that I really wanted to emphasize is I don't think there's a lot of people who know what you do because so much of your focus is outside of the community. Some of it I know is inside of the community. You can talk about the matrix too, if you want to, that I think is so exciting.
Sure.
But tell us sort of what do you do on a daily basis? Who are you in contact with? What is your goal? What are you guys about?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those jobs where I have one overriding goal, and that is to create jobs here. And, and by creating, I don't create any jobs, but to create an atmosphere where jobs can thrive is really it. And there are so many different ways to do that. Brad and I have talked about day-to-day, it's like you have a dozen sticks with plates spinning on top of them. It's just keeping them all spinning and trying to find the ones that work the best. But I do have a department of two, but we have a lot of great partners here. We have SUU. We have Southwest Tech. We have a Business Resource Center, which is part of SUU. And we actually meet monthly with the Business Resource Center and a lot of partners to try to focus on all
That's
of these
great.
Things together. So
good.
We are a small team, but we have a huge partnership in university, the tech college, all of these partners. That's on the local level. So we're all working together to coordinate lots of different things. And then on the state level, I work very closely with the Governor's Office of Economic Development, with Economic Development Corporation of Utah, which is hired by the state to do the recruiting for the state.
Okay.
So we work very closely with them. I also work with a group called the Utah Alliance for Economic Development, which is some government, but other developers and utilities and others who are all interested in growing the state's economy.
That's great. I think it's so important, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk over you, but I think it's so important that those of us who live in a rural area, in a smaller area, have a seat at that table. And I think it's because of your involvement and Brad's involvement and the relationships that you have that we are on their radar. And I think that's huge and I think it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, it's really important. It's amazing how important those connections are. Day to day, there's not a day that goes by that we're not networking with someone and keeping tabs with those at the state level and the regional levels and just trying to work together to find out which projects are doing what. We try to do a number of things, but we try to stay focused too. I mean, there's a danger of chasing every shiny thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to pick exactly what things are worth spending your time on because there's just two of you.
Yeah.
Right. And even with those who help us, there's so many things that come along that look and sound appealing. And boy, if we were to do this, this could happen. We try to really stay focused on our strategic plan, which goes back to the creation of our economic development office. One thing that helps us is when my position was formed, there was also a committee formed to kind of guide and direct what we do.
Good.
And that committee is made up of county and Cedar City elected officials. So we have one county commissioner, the Cedar City mayor, a Cedar City council member. And then we have members of our local taxing entities, the school board, the Water Conservancy District.
That's great.
Also our Business Resource Center director.
Good.
Who now happens to be a council member.
Yeah, exactly. No, those are absolutely critical relationships to maintain and get input so that you've got, you know, sort of a clear direction from the community as to what the community needs and wants.
If it were just me without direction, I could stay really, really busy and lots of things could happen by chance. But when we have an organized effort, I think we're doing some good things.
That's
we stay
very
focused
cool.
on.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, people ask about economic development. You say, what do you do on a daily basis? A lot of people want to do that. And most people ask me, so where is our large shopping center? Where's this restaurant? Why don't we have that store? And we do some of that to the extent that we can. But honestly, the thing that's most important is how do we grow primary employment here for families to be able to stay here and raise their families?
Yes.
Yeah, I know so many people who they came here to go to school. They lived here for a few years. And all I hear is, man, I absolutely love Cedar City. If I could get a job, I'd move there.
Exactly. And we're trying to find those opportunities to keep those students here.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Every rural county does that. Their greatest export resource is their young people.
Is their children.
Their students.
Yeah.
We do better than most rural counties at retaining those folks and keeping those who want to come here and stay here. But it's still a challenge.
Yeah.
So we're looking at, we have businesses that are succeeding here. How can we work with our partners to help those businesses to grow? That's part of it, is local business retention and expansion. And that happens. It's not, doesn't hit the headlines.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's the most healthy economic development.
Sure.
Our own companies can grow.
Yeah.
A lot of people are familiar with business recruitment, and that takes a lot of time and effort, and we do that. We reach out and find out which types of businesses will fit here and how can we attract them here. And we've had great success, way above most rural counties in the state.
I agree. Talk about some of those successes just in the last, you know, maybe year or two that have been a direct result from you going out and creating that environment that you were talking about, you know, working with your partners locally and everybody sort of involved in that. But talk about, you know, who's here now that wouldn't have been here otherwise, and how did they get here?
Sure. And I wish I could take credit for all of it. but a lot of the credit just goes to making connections with people and places. One of our older manufacturers here in town, you probably remember Seroflow Copper. They ran for a dozen years, and then that market changed, and this plant shut down. We found another company that was looking to expand, and we knew that we had a building that served just that thing. And just making those connections was very important, being able to put those pieces together. So Mueller Industries is an awesome company that moved here a few years ago. Genpak has been here for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And they've continued to quietly grow and expand and add new product lines and new employees. When they started, they were a good, healthy company, somewhere around 100 employees, and now they're closer to 400 employees on their fifth expansion and talking potential sixth expansion.
Wow. And they bought another huge building to the north or to the east.
To the east. So we've got Genpak East and West, and they've been able, and my predecessors helped some things happen to make that expansion happen. And that's kind of what we do in economic development, is find out what these companies are doing and how can we help you. Maybe there's a program, or maybe there's some things that utilities are offering that could make this work.
Okay.
What's that last thing that can help you make Cedar City your best choice? We did recruit a company that found us off of the Union Pacific Rail map.
Okay.
They're located in Wisconsin. They make incredible products and they have a growing market in the West. It costs a lot of money to ship plastic to the West Coast, plastic products.
Yeah.
So they were looking at for a Western expansion, and we were able to meet with them and say, look, how we've got plastics is a great fit here. We have a half a dozen companies that bring in resins on rail. They make a product, and they ship it out on the highways. And that's a great fit for us. So We announced in June of this year the coming of a company called GoEx Manufacturing. Mm-hmm. They'll bring 100 new jobs.
That's fabulous.
They'll build a new 130,000 square foot building.
Wow.
And we're thrilled.
That's amazing. And that's all out at Port 15.
It is.
Okay.
That rail spur is such a huge thing, as I've heard from people in St. George, that that's one of the reasons they can't get manufacturers is there's no visit. There's no space to put a rail line anywhere into the city. That's why they never had one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rail, I don't know if people recognize how crucial that is to us, but GoEx found us from that map. And they found other locations as well, and I met with them, and these other locations in other states met with them, and it turned out that we were the right fit for this company.
So that's great. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So I know you've got other things on your list. What else do we need to talk about that people need to know about what your department does and how you're benefiting this community?
I brought this along. This is my last copy of this because we're in the middle of updating it. It's
okay.
A strategic plan, but this will kind of help me go the right direction here.
Sure.
Talk about staying focused. We've talked a lot about manufacturing, but we have other areas that fit our community really
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are no-brainers. Tourism.
Yeah.
Has been an economic driver here for a long time.
Easy pitch. We've got 7 or 8 national parks within a day drive?
Uh-huh.
We're right in the middle of everything tourism-wise. Mm-hmm. We have an amazing Shakespeare Festival uh-huh. and all these other events that go on here. So we continue to work with Maria Twitchell, who's mm-hmm. amazing.
She's very, very cool. We had her on, I don't know, about a month ago, a month and a half ago.
Something like that. Go back and watch the episode if you haven't.
Yeah, go watch the Maria Twitchell episode with it's not the Cedar City
Bryan Head Tourism
Bureau. Yeah.
But it's not called that anymore. She corrected us. Oh. Go back and watch that episode and you'll find out exactly what it is.
Whatever the title, she is recognized
she is amazing.
As one of the very best.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever
yes.
I go, if I tell people I'm from Cedar City, Iron County, they know, Maria Twitchell.
Oh, you work with Maria. Yeah. That's right. No, she's so fabulous.
But that is a huge part of our economy.
Mm-hmm.
Small business development, that's huge. And we talked about growing local mm-hmm. businesses.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
why I enjoy working with the Business Resource Center. The university now has an Entrepreneur Center. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything that we can do to help nurture the growth of new business and allow entrepreneurs to get creative.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you were at the Rural Summit.
Yes, I did go to the Rural Summit. I was blown away. It was so amazing.
That's an area that there's so much room for growth and
yeah.
some cool things are happening there. So we mm-hmm. say, I wish we could take credit for all that, but we do want to work with any new companies and help them, you know, overcome whatever stumbling block
uh-huh.
might be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The other thing that we do, and we've known this for years, if you look at a map of the state of Utah, there's a map that the Governor's Office of Energy Development has put out. And it shows here's the ideal place for wind, for geothermal, for solar, and it's a color-coded map. And when you see potential for solar, Iron County is it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we've known that for a long time, and we've tried to market that, but it wasn't until 2008 or so that my predecessor really got into marketing that. The price of producing solar panels and
uh-huh.
things starting to get to a point, and there were some federal incentives to uh-huh. allow that to happen. A lot of our own residents don't know this, but we are by far the solar capital of the state of Utah.
Right, yeah.
And really surrounding states mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have over 14 utility scale solar project areas.
That's crazy.
Wow. You don't realize this unless you fly over it, but we have
right.
just over 10,000 acres of solar panels.
Wow.
Okay.
My goodness, that's a lot.
It's generating 1.09 gigawatts
wow.
of power. I joke that we're this close from getting Doc and Marty back.
Right.
1.21 gigawatts.
All right, well, now you're going to have to do a Back to the Future viewing party when
right,
it happens.
Exactly, yeah.
I think we're going to have to.
We'll host that, for sure.
We're that close. But over $1.5 billion has been invested in solar energy development here in Iron County.
Wow. That's great.
We have county leaders who see the benefit of that resource. I mean, this is the perfect place to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're high altitude, cool temperatures,
mm-hmm.
260 days of sunshine uh-huh. a year.
Yeah.
The solar companies see that and they flock here, and we have a great process that our county has put in place. Reed Erickson writing the permitting policy that's mm-hmm. being used as a model now mm-hmm. by other counties.
And those, from my understanding, and correct me if I'm speaking out of turn, mm-hmm. but my understanding is they create a lot of construction type jobs when they first go in. It doesn't take a lot to maintain them, but the economic impact as far as property taxes is a huge, huge positive economic benefit for this county.
It really is. It benefits in ways that our residents don't realize. Mm-hmm. All of our taxing entities, our county, our school district, not the city because we don't have any in city boundaries.
Right.
But mm-hmm. it does bring a lot of revenue.
Uh-huh.
And those jobs are really important. Uh-huh. You know, 2014, 15, 16, there were over 1,000 laborers putting those projects together. And we've got some big ones online right now. We'll
Great.
Anticipate within the next few months close to another 1,000 construction
wow,
jobs.
Wow, no kidding.
That's solar projects.
That's very cool.
And
that's great.
If you look at the land where those go too, you know, there's only so many uses you have for those. They don't have utility stubs. They're not really close to major roads. But there's not a lot you can do with grazing because there's only so much vegetation there. But sticking panels on it, I mean, that's an easy sell.
It really is. And you talk about grazing, our Utah Red Hills, which is our first utility scale plant, is on property owned by a couple of families in the Parowan Valley, and they do graze their sheep out there under the panels.
Oh, that's great.
And I mean, it's a great environment to grow grasses and things uh-huh. that those animals can use. So there's just a lot of great things.
Uh-huh.
The other thing that comes from renewable energy is it attracts other type of business.
Uh-huh.
And I think our county leaders in the past several years have had some great foresight to say, if we're putting up solar, we're going to catch the attention of some of these other projects. And you may or may not know, but Google is one of the financiers for our first plant.
Wow.
I believe it's the Facebook Center that's going in northern Utah uh-huh. that's signed a contract with Rocky Mountain Power because of a project that's being built here in Iron County.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
It's pretty common. A lot of tech companies, when they build data centers, they want 100% renewables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a tricky thing right now. That
yeah.
doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
We're close. We're getting closer.
Uh-huh.
A lot of these projects that have been built here, they are collecting a lot of power while the sun's in the sky.
Uh-huh.
Storage mm-hmm. is the next step
yes.
to boost that along.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
they've built out portions of those plants anticipating future technology.
Okay. That's so great. That's amazing.
I've heard cool things about storage too. One of them is they've heard out in Delta, they're converting an old salt mine to have compressed air tanks. And so the excess capacity fills the air tank. And at night, the air tank empties to drive generators.
There's a lot of
wow.
amazing technology. And that's what we want to do is we've proven that we can generate the power.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We're really trying to get the attention of some of these innovators with renewable energies as well to come up with new technologies or tech companies who are interested in being affiliated with renewable. This is a great place.
Sure. That's yeah. exciting. Yeah. Wow. That's very cool.
A lot of people don't realize that, but those are our four clusters.
Okay.
So manufacturing, small business development,
uh-huh.
which includes tech,
uh-huh.
Renewable energy and tourism. That's uh-huh. where our focus is. And
that's great.
Spend a lot of time just trying to make the right matches.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, again, I'm going to repeat myself, but it is so great to have such a diverse economic base and it, not even in your clusters, but in the businesses who are in those clusters, I think are also a lot more diverse than has been even in the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, very true. If you start listing just manufacturers, we have an obvious plastics cluster within that
uh-huh.
cluster, but
mm-hmm.
in our county, we have so many cool things being
yeah,
built and made,
yeah.
you know, and such a variety of manufacturing.
That's just fabulous. That's fabulous. Well, is there anything that we've missed? Is there anything else that you want this community to understand about what your office does and how you do it and how it's benefiting Cedar City and Iron County?
That diversification, new job creation is always the target that we're mm-hmm. pointed at. There's mm-hmm. a lot of ways to get to that target. As I've mentioned, a lot of people think, well, you're not very successful because we don't have a target yet or a
right.
yet.
Right.
And the world of retail is changing so dramatically.
Yes.
That even the owners of those companies are trying to figure out how to plan for their own future.
Sure, sure.
I spoke with a large chain. So we have such great resources for retail as well. We have our entire North Interchange in Cedar City to serve areas that...
Let's get something on the north end of town, Danny.
Exactly. I don't want people to think I've forgotten about that, but they need to understand also that these retailers, they're having a difficult time planning for their futures. So there's one chain in particular that would be a large box store that I think would be ideal on the North Interchange. I've spoken multiple times with the regional developer from that company, and he says, yes, that is the perfect place for it. He says, the problem is at a corporate level, where 5 years ago we had plans for 100 to 120 new sites, now we have fewer than 10.
No kidding.
So
wow.
They're just being so careful and so
very cautious. Yeah.
So we have to be able to adapt to those changes. We're still going to market the heck out of our North Interchange
Good.
And our historic downtown and everything else that's retail related, but we need to understand that our own shopping habits and all the UPS and FedEx and other delivery trucks we see in town.
Everything's you know, sort of shifting to not necessarily going to a brick and mortar store, but you know, pulling up an app or going online or you know whatever and having it delivered the next day.
We all do that. Mm-hmm. We all know how convenient it is. Mm-hmm. And it's, the world's changing. Mm-hmm. We need to learn how to change with it. Mm-hmm. We still need to help retailers understand what amazing opportunities we have here.
Yeah.
We still serve a vast geographic area of people who count on coming to Cedar City.
Yeah, and we were talking about that you know, before we started taping, but our footprint is not typical. It was when you're talking about the concentric rings of you know, of retail and the population mass that is supposed to be in those, because we pull from such a larger geographical area.
Yeah, we get Panguitch, Beaver, everyone in Eastern Nevada, Caliente, Panaca, Pioche, they all come here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And my predecessors have done a great job in educating retailers about that. I think at the time, Cedar City didn't meet the requirements for a Super Walmart or a Home Depot or some of the things that we have. But if we can get in and tell that story and demonstrate that we can be successful, then we catch their eye. It's getting harder to catch those eyes and make those connections.
Well, as that market kind of shifts and they're having to adapt as well, which is the world that we live in now. So.
Well, I'm going to keep on hammering Harmon's to get here.
Oh, I'm so on board with Harmon's. I totally let you off the hook for a Costco if you could bring us a Harmon's.
Harmon's is great. They're an Associated food store, and so is our Lynn store.
Okay.
So they work with the same group.
Mm-hmm.
They're great opportunities. I'm never going to give up on any of these.
Okay.
And I talk to them pretty regularly. So.
All right. Well, make sure that they watch this podcast to know that they've got another two big supporters.
We're
rooting for you.
That's right. Right here.
Right.
It's going to make it worth their while.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Well, we sure appreciate you coming in, Danny. What else do we need to know?
Let me look and see. I know that we're going to finish up, and I'm going to say, why didn't I talk about this right now?
Well, you always have that moment of, you know, a couple days later, like, oh, that's what I should have said.
This. And if we can get you scheduled, I think that any one of these little topics that we've touched on, we could really dive into it and expand it. So we'll have you back.
I think we could. Certainly. We've got a couple of things going on. I just wanted to mention in closing, and I'll be short on these, but you may or may not be familiar with the Federal Opportunity Zone program.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this was part of the tax legislation that happened in 2016. Mm-hmm. It's still kind of, I mean, it's been going for some time, but nationwide it hasn't quite been figured out.
Yeah.
What this program is, it has defined geographic areas, census tracts that economically are defined as distressed.
Uh-huh.
Every state has them. Every state governor was asked to pick 25% of their qualifying census tracts, and we got two in Iron County.
Uh-huh.
We could have had six that qualified, but we were selected for two, which is great. There are a lot of counties that don't have them. What this does, though, is it creates an incentive for private investment into these communities, and it's pretty phenomenal. If people are familiar with 1031 exchanges, things like that, this is like 1031 on massive steroids.
Right. That's how I've described it, is it's basically a 1031 on steroids.
But we have an opportunity zone, which is our entire western half of our county, including our rail spur, our 415, all of those projects. And the other one includes our historic downtown and everything along Main Street going south out of town.
Yeah.
Trying to educate investors
and match exactly
investors up with projects that we have here.
Yeah.
The SBA and the EDA are wanting to tour rural parts of the country and see how this is going, and to bring investors and try to help make those matches. And they're starting here.
Fantastic.
In Cedar City. In October.
Fabulous. That is so exciting.
So we're looking forward to having them here. We're going to have some of our projects kind of speed pitch what their properties and their projects are.
Oh, right on. Right on. Okay. So that's very exciting. Very exciting.
Very cool. The other thing that people ask me about is the Utah Inland Port.
Yes.
You know a couple of things about that in Utah. It's controversial in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
But it's also really the future of a big chunk of the state's economy, and we could be a part of that with our infrastructure that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a lot of agriculture here, a lot of alfalfa hay that's being produced and exported. And those farmers who do that are having to truck their hay cubes and their hay all the way to the port of Oakland to get them on ships.
Okay.
And it just cuts their margins tiny.
Sure.
If we could affiliate with the Utah Inland Port, allow those folks to do that here, it would really make them more profitable.
That's great. What a beautiful combination of agriculture and the higher tech stuff with using the Inland Port and our own Port 15. That's amazing. That really is so cool.
And I've had opportunity to tour the Port 15 area and other areas with folks from the Inland Port, and I think there's some good potential.
Great. That's so exciting. So exciting. That's great. We had Spencer Cox on a couple weeks ago, and that's a great episode, everybody in out there in the world and in the community that listens to these podcasts. Go listen to that Spencer Cox one. Super exciting things. You know, dealing with partnerships from the Wasatch Front and including Cedar City and Iron County in the economic boom that is happening on the Wasatch Front. It was really cool.
It is amazing. But anyway, those are just a few of the things. We're working with the university and the tech college to try to create some co-working space for people who are trying to get startups and different things, or who just work remotely and need good infrastructure.
Yeah.
I'm full-time remote. I feel the pain.
You do. And so if we can bring that co-working space together with the EdNet broadband and stuff.
Yeah, anytime we can hit broadband, we're going to bring it up.
We'll hammer it.
Sure. Yeah, no, that is so key. And you and I have talked about that since I started this job.
Yeah, that's one of those building blocks that businesses always want to talk about is they come and they assume, okay, you probably got electricity, you've probably got water and sewer. Can you hook us up to the rest of the world?
That's right. And
you've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.